Linda Congiati, and Michael T. Hoffman, to speak about our mother, Louise Catherine. As the youngest, I always got the hand-me-down clothes and got stuck doing a lot of chores, like always having to clean the pool. However, this time, I am truly honored to represent my sisters. Mom went out of this world surrounded by all her loving family. The last thing she did was lift her head up off the pillow, open her eyes, looked around at all of us, and then passed in the most beautiful and peaceful way we could ever dream of, as beautifully as she lived her life. You read in the papers every day about someone famous who is having an impact on the world. It could be a movie star, an athlete, or a politician in the headlines. But as individuals, we sometimes think we don't have much impact on the world we live in. Today, as I look around this overfilled room, it's very clear to me that the person we knew as Mom touched many in our community. We are overwhelmed by all the calls and emails of love and kindness we have received by so many of you. Thank you for sharing your love and your memories of our mom. Growing up in the Hackman family with four sisters, you can imagine it was sometimes chaotic. Just imagine five girls and one bathroom. No matter how busy Mom was while raising a family, and working with our dad at their grocery store and at the Boeing Company, she still made the time to prepare family Shabbat dinners. All of us have fond memories of this special time together as a family, even if we sometimes missed a few football games. One of the things about Mom that we all clearly agree on is that she was very undemanding. All she ever asked was for us to be happy and live our lives doing whatever made us happy. However, if you wanted to pick her up and take her on a Sunday drive, even if it was a Monday or a Tuesday or any other day of the week, she would greatly appreciate it. If you took her to Alki, that would be even better. And if you could find the time to go to Alki and maybe Spuds for fish and chips, that would be even better. Or if not, the Spaghetti Factory would be nice too. Most times though, she would say, "But, Miyama, I don't want to be a bother to you." Once when she was visiting Gary and I in California, we could not find her after dinner. We finally found her in the guest room, sitting on a very tiny child's chair, about a foot from a tiny 13-inch TV, with the sound way down. We asked, what was she doing? Her reply was, "I just wanted to be sure I wasn't bothering you and the children." Over the last 5 weeks, she kept apologizing to us for being sick. She felt bad that all of us were spending so much time at her bedside. She just did not want to be an imposition to anyone. Even in her last days, she was so kind and polite to all of us and all the wonderful nurses and staff, always thanking everyone and calling them honey or sweetie. Exactly 6 years ago, Mom moved to the Summit, This was a wonderful new chapter in her life, and she embraced the lifestyle there 100%. Every time we would visit, she always told us how happy she was living there. Even though she had many wonderful friends at the summit, she was always thrilled when any of us came to visit, and even happier if we wanted to come the next day, or the next day, or the next day. She loved showing us off to all her friends. Her family was her life. One of her best features was her beautiful smile, and it was never larger than when she would see one of her grandchildren or one of her great-grandchildren. They were truly her life's treasures. Mom told me recently that when she was young, she really did not think she would ever get married. She could not believe that Dad actually picked her and asked her to marry him. From two people who had such a deep love for each other, we are now an amazing, wonderful family of 28 and growing. So, with very heavy hearts, we say goodbye to you, Mom. With all our love, from your 5 daughters, your 4 sons, 14 grandchildren, and 3 great-grandchildren. Be sure to give Dad a big kiss from all of us. We love you and we miss you a lot. Thanks to all of you from all of us for coming to celebrate Mom's wonderful, beautiful life. I would now like to invite few of the grandchildren would like to come and share some of their words. So I will invite them to come up and do that. And thank you so much.
I'm Jesse Hawk, Grandma's 5th grandchild. Others have, the entry they just did, or are going to talk about the values and lessons Grandma has taught all of us. And they are all true, and they have definitely helped me in my life. But to me, what I will remember most about Grandma are the little things she did that have always meant a lot to me. For example, whenever Grandma was talking to somebody special, her, she always called that person beyond my love. For whatever reason, that has always been a comforting phrase. And she was generous with it, with those she loved. And I knew that Elisa, my wife, was in when Grandma said that to her the first time they met. Grandma also made the world's best soup lunch. But as a kid, I hated having the cinnamon on it. And because of that, every soup box that Grandma made included just corn without cinnamon, which was always something that made me feel special. Even as I grew up and started to like the cinnamon, just corn still always existed. Right now, I would just love to have a little bit more of a soup box. When Grandma moved to the summit, she was always so proud when any of her grandchildren or great-grandchildren came to visit. And any other resident who ever even came within her reach was pulled in and introduced, and Grandma would just sit there with a big smile on. And whenever we brought Olivia, my 21-month-old granddaughter, Grandma had a smile that lit up the room, and you could tell how happy she was to see her. athletic ability. But many of us were there watching her in her final athletic competition. On Olivia's first birthday last July, as Olivia was just learning to walk, Grandma with her lavender lessons, my grandma Nate, and Olivia, with their own walkers, had a race for the ages. The smiles and laughter from all three of the competitors was one of the most heartwarming things I have ever seen, and it will be a lasting image I have of the crown. Olivia may have won the race, but Grandma, we are all winners because you touched each of our lives. Now, I think I can speak for the whole family when I ask you one more thing. Coming August 29th, when Dan and Gail get married, I want you and Grandpa to be there with us, watching their family grow one more time. I love you, Grandma, and you will always be a part of all of us.
Thank you for those moving words and memories of your mother and grandmother, Mrs. Louise Hassett, who we all come today to pay a lasting tribute to a wonderful woman. There's a great story narrated in the Talmud about one of the greatest legal minds ever known to Judaism. His name was Rabbi Gamliel. And him being so high up in the judiciary in the Jewish province, he had unfettered access to the emperor in the locale in which he was. However, the emperor used to like to challenge him, especially on issues that dealt with Judaism. So the emperor goes over to Rabbi Gamliel, and he says, "Excuse me, Rabbi Gamliel, but I have evidence that the God of Israel, that your God, is, forgive me for saying this, but might have stolen, might be a thief." Rabbi Gamliel was taken aback, but he also knew, considering the source, what he was trying to do. So Rabbi Gamliel says, "What do you mean?" He says, "Well, I happen to read in the book of Genesis that when Adam was asleep, it says that God came and took a rib from Adam to form Eve. This was unbeknownst to Adam. So he stole a rib from Adam in order to make Eve, to create Eve." Rabbi Gamliel was about to reply when his lovely daughter stepped forward. And she said, "Father, with all due respect, would it be okay if I field this question from the royal emperor?" Rabbi Gamliel, knowing that his daughter was extremely brilliant, he said, "Oh, of course, my dear, please feel free to respond to the emperor." So the daughter of Rabbi Gamliel said, "Could you please send a law enforcement officer? I need to speak with him." So the emperor said, "For what reason?" He goes, "Well," the daughter said, "well, over these past few weeks, we have these beautiful, solid, sterling silver candelabra in our home. And it happened a couple times. The silver was stolen while we were asleep, and it was replaced with gold candelabra." The emperor was taken aback himself, and he said, "I should be so lucky to have a thief visit my house and take something of a lesser value and leave something of a greater value." She then replied, "Ah, yes. Then is it not a splendid thing for the first man, Adam, when a single rib was taken from him and woman was formed from him to enhance the world, to enhance his life, and to eventually enhance the life of her entire family?" And that was the end of the story. And so went the life of our dear and our beloved Louise Hassan. She was the matriarch of her family, and like so many wonderful women in our community, they are the backbone of the families, and everybody knows this fundamental fact, how much this is a truth in our lives. She was taken from this world on Thursday, April 29th, at the age of 88, corresponding to the 15th day of the month of Iyar. She was born to Shlomo and Esther Amira. Of course, she grew up in our beautiful Sephardic community here in Seattle. Whenever I would, not every time, but so many times when I would see her, she would always remind me of our connection. She says, "You know how we are related, don't you?" I said, "Yes, I do." And she would tell me the story anyway. And it was flattering to me because I think she was proud of it, and I was equally as proud to be associated with her in this way. But so notable was her pride that she was a descendant, a granddaughter, of the first rabbi of the Seattle Sephardic community, Haribi Shlomo Azuz. And she used to just beam when she would tell me this. Probably because she knew my interest in the community and in the synagogue, but because I think just internally that was a source of pride from her, that her lineage was from such prestige. She was married, as been mentioned earlier, she was married to the love of her life, Mr. Ralph Hassan, of blessed memory, who passed from this world about 23 years ago when she was only 66 years old, and that's young. And she's been the rest of her life, along without her husband, but in the loving company of her very charming and lovely daughters, Sandra, Susan, Linda, Rosalind, and Renee, and of course their husbands and their extended family. And also, as mentioned, that was the center of her life. Nothing meant more to her than her children, and her children's spouses, and her grandchildren, and her great-grandchildren. But while she was married, in those wonderful years of her life, family tells me that they were a honeymoon fairy tale couple. They worked together at the grocery store in Alki in West Seattle, and she was also a very devoted employee of the Boeing Company, a very hard-working individual. But between her and her husband, they traveled everywhere. They lived, interesting, I didn't know this, but they lived in Hawaii. And I guess the children tell me, it reminded their father of what Rosas was like. And the beautiful palm trees, the water, and let's face it, what's not beautiful about Hawaii. So they spent a lot of time in Hawaii, but they also spent a lot of time seeing the rest of the world. From South Africa to visiting their niece, Sue, which is the daughter of Victor, and Regina in Israel, and of course they went to the island of Rhodes, and just traveled to see the world and enjoy life, which is inspirational in and of itself. There is something very profound in people who are unassuming and unimposing, who are humble, and yet who are very conscientious, meticulous, and very caring of other people. It's impossible in life to separate a trait, a positive trait that you have, from one act in life that it won't spill over to everything else you do. So if you're meticulous and conscientious in one component of your life, it won't just remain there. It will be with everything you do. It's global in your life. And this is how she was. She was very conscious and conscientious of people around her, meaning that she, I know I can speak personally, whenever she greeted you, whenever she spoke to you, she looked you in the eye, she had a very warm smile, and she had a very warm countenance, and she truly cared about what she was telling you and what you were about to tell her. And even more profound was she was always happy with whatever you were doing, with whatever you accomplished or whatever was happening in your life, she was happy for you. And as our sages tell us, as you know, between the holiday of Passover, which we just completed, and the holiday of Shavuot, which is about to be upon us in a couple of weeks, our sages, our rabbis tell us, Heve mekabel et kol ha'adam b'sever panim yafot, which means be very careful at all times in your life to receive people with a warm greeting and with a warm countenance. Not only because it makes the person who you are speaking to feel so good and feel nice, but it will eventually help your life. And I believe her good attitude in life and her all-around goodness probably contributed to her longevity and her good nature. She was very regal. Obviously, she kept an immaculate home, her daughters tell me this. And I, again, from personal experience, whenever I was walking to the summit, which is just a wonderful, wonderful facility, a wonderful institution in our community, where she lived for 6 years and loved it, as we heard. But whenever I would walk in there, oftentimes I would see her sitting in the lobby, either chatting with her friends or sometimes just sitting by herself, looking very content, but again, always ready to greet you with warmth and kindness. There's another story that's narrated in rabbinic literature, which I would like to share with you. And there are several stories narrated in this type of literature about another very great legal mind whose name was Rabbi Tarfon. And these were Talmudic scholars hundreds of years ago, but their incidences in life have meaning, and so they were recorded for our benefit for many years to come. So it was reported of him that whenever his mother wanted, and you have to remember that homes and property in the year 300 did not look as homes that we have today. so your mind has to be a little imaginative. But it was reported to him that whenever his mother wanted to ascend her bed, whenever she wanted to go to sleep, he would kneel down and she would use him to step up onto her bed so she could go to sleep. And when she would wake up in the morning, similarly, he would be there for her in order that she could step down on him to get onto the floor so that she could walk. There was a time when his mother went down to walk in the courtyard of their home, and it was on Shabbat, and her shoe slipped off. So he placed his hand beneath her soles, and then she walked on his hands in order that her feet would have something between the ground until she would reach her destination. Somewhat royal, very honorable, and it struck me when I was speaking with all of the children yesterday how much they revered and respected and would do anything for their mother, similar to this story, kind of a paradigm. And it's a Jewish paradigm because I believe that in our culture, not exclusive to Judaism, but certainly specific to Judaism, we view our parents as royalty, as being regal beings. And the case for Mrs. Louise Hassan of blessed memory was nothing different because her children were really her support system throughout her life. It says in the book of Leviticus in the Torah, it says, Ish imo ve'aviv tirao ve'et shavetotai tishmor. Every individual shall fear their mother and their father, and my Sabbath you shall observe. It notes the mother first when it comes to fearing and revering, because children have a tendency to readily fear the paternal figure in their household, and sometimes the mother gets the respect but not the fear. So the Torah was very careful to tell us, make sure you fear your mother and your father, both equally. And you shall observe my Sabbath. This rang true when the daughter told me on Shabbat, Friday before Shabbat, the very first thing that was out of their mouths was when I asked them to tell me a little bit about what was life like at home growing up. The very first thought that they said, well, you just need to know, Shabbat was everything. Friday night was not only a feast, but it was a time that the entire family got together. And this rings true with this pasuk, with this verse. Fear your mother and your father, and God is now speaking, and please observe all of my Sabbaths. I found that ironic. So her family and her children were her life, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren, and as Renee mentioned earlier, and I find the story very touching also, that, Sarah and Barry's daughter Sophie, is that correct? Very touching story when Louise was in the hospice, care of the hospice. Her great-granddaughter Sophie was in the room and Louise was perhaps not as alert, not as conscious as expected, but not as conscious as what normally would be. But when her little great-granddaughter was there gesturing back and forth with her, somehow her external radar picked up on it and she was able to gesture a motion and signify that she understood. And I just thought that was a very beautiful story to share, that no matter what, the soul picks up on those kinds of things. And one of the grandchildren mentioned the word mi alma. Of course she meant my love, but as you all know, if you know Ladino, mi alma really means my soul. All of her children and her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren were part of her soul. And so the saying, Yama, is certainly appropriate. Much has been said about her culinary talents. I'm sure all of her food was just delectable, and that was also a very noted primal activity amongst mothers of the world, especially Jewish mothers of the world, is to always be able to provide for their family and children, feeding them. I know it gives so much pleasure to the one who does it, and also, of course, to the recipient. Enough cannot be said about all of her dear sons-in-law. Steve Condiotti, Dr. Stephen Jaffe, Gary Levy, Larry Piha, the entire family not only looked after her when she needed them to look after her, but they are a tight-knit and close family, always being together, and it was out of much love and compassion for each other that they all existed. And it was mutual, it went in both directions. Her brother, may he live and be well, Mr. Victor Amira, was explaining on Friday when we were all sitting together. In fact, the words were very difficult to come out because he said when he was a child, when he was about 10 years old, he couldn't even imagine that his sister Louise, who was about to be married, it just dawned on him that she was going to leave the house. And he couldn't imagine life in their house with their siblings and their parents without Louise, because she, like her children, revered the commandment of honoring your parents. And I was told she worked very hard. She was a hard worker all of her life. And she worked even as a youngster, helping out her parents support the family during the Depression. And this obviously rang a bell. It rang an alarm with Victor Amira when he was telling the story, because he couldn't fathom life without her at home. She was such an institution, even as a sibling growing up. And of course, their relationship throughout their life was always harmonious. And that is just a blessing, because it's so difficult in life today, especially in the fast-paced life that we live, for everybody always to find time for each other and maintain harmony. It's really a blessing. And that is, Victor, we all wish you our best, that you should live and be well for many years. There are very dangerous to walk on ground. We are not allowed to rate or say which commandments in the Torah are more important than others. And there are 613 of them, and I wouldn't dare say any are more important than another. But three come to mind that are life-changing and affect the soul and affect the world and affect the one who performs these commandments. And the three that come to mind are honoring parents, which I've mentioned, observance of the Sabbath, which I've mentioned, and the third is Gemilut Chasadim, which is acts of loving kindness. You can never do enough of them. As a matter of fact, we are warned to be very careful never to overindulge in any certain activity. But one activity that we are told do as much as you want is the act of being kind to somebody else. And not only to her family, but to her friends, and to the general community. She was an individual. Louise Hassan was an individual who exuded kindness. And remarkable was she in that change is one of the most inevitable events in life, and one of the most difficult events to adjust to. And she had her share of change that she had to adjust in her life. And she sped through them, she flew through them with flying colors in each case. And you might think that's a simple task because, okay, life goes on, things happen, you get over it, you move on. But to not burden anyone, to not tell anybody else, to never complain, to always say you're all right, when the opportunity confronts you, you can spill your gut, as they say, you can tell the world, you can complain, and she did not. And she would always have the saying, Yatipasa, correct? And we have this in Hebrew also, Gam Zu Ya'avor, which means, this too shall pass. So whenever something happened in her life, she would have the correct attitude, you know, life goes, we have to continue moving, we have to move on. And I believe that kind of attitude also contributed to her longevity and to her happiness and to the stability and to the harmony that was her family. I know you all join me when I say to the family, to the children, to the grandchildren, and to the great-grandchildren, and to Mr. Victor Amira, the brother, that her memory shall serve as a blessing to all of you, and that you should only have happy occasions from this point forward. May her soul rest in peace. Amen. The family has dedicated the following for pallbearers, immediately following the service. They are Mr. Steve Condiotti, Mr. Robert Condiotti, Mr. Craig Jaffe, Dr. Stephen Jaffe, Mr. Barry Katz, Mr. Brian Levy, Mr. Gary Levy, Mr. Daniel Piha, Mr. Jeffrey Piha, and Mr. Larry Piha. And the family would like to honor the following as honorary pallbearers: Mr. Irving Adado, Mr. Mark Alcazal, Mr. Victor Amira, and Mr. Nace Piha.